Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of my Discipleship Foundations series. This is chapter 14, entitled Christ's Finished Work, Forgiveness. I want to begin with Matthew 26:28 from the NIV. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Forgiveness is another side of propitiation, which I covered in the last chapter. Once the just wrath of God against sin has been appeased, forgiveness may be offered. Forgiveness is never required. It is an offer to release someone from a debt that is justly owed. It is always an act of mercy. In this case, our debt was one we had no means of ever paying, the debt of sin. The only acceptable payment that could release us from this debt was the death of a perfectly righteous God-man offered in obedience on the cross. Only the Lamb of God could pay that price, and thank God he did. John 1:29 reads, "The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" That's also from the NIV. Jesus' parable of the unrighteous servant, found in Matthew 18:23-35, teaches us that we are forgiven only because of the mercy of God. The unrighteous servant never understood and thought he could or should pay back his master over time for a debt that had already been removed. As a result, he failed to properly receive the gift offered to him or to show the same sort of mercy to others. Since he still thought that he must earn his forgiveness, he demanded that others earn theirs too by repaying their debts to him. This kind of spiritual blindness and pride produces legalism, in which we try to earn our acceptance and standing with God through our performance. Only one person had the ability to pay the necessary price, and he's already done it. Jesus offered himself not because he was required to do so because of a personal debt he owed, but because he chose to extend mercy to us by paying our debt. He purchased our forgiveness with his blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." That's the New American Standard Bible. Redemption is a theological word which simply means to buy back from slavery and set free. We will look at this more in depth in future meditations. For now, we will concentrate on this one aspect of redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Once a debt has been paid, it can never be legally demanded again. Until the debt is paid, the debtor is in bondage to the lender. Being in a state of unforgiveness is a kind of prison, a debtor's prison. We do not have this form of debt collection anymore, but in earlier times, a person could go to prison for unpaid debts. On a personal level, we can hold people in a psychological or spiritual prison of our own making through refusing to forgive. It is impossible to relate in any sort of close way when we hold an offense against another person, or that person holds an offense against us. Forgiveness means we release the other person from owing us anything at all. We let go of our demands for personal satisfaction or vengeance, knowing that God will handle any justice that needs to be administered. When Jesus died for us and paid the price for his blood, of his blood for our redemption, God's wrath was completely satisfied, and he released us from our impossible debt. God forgave us completely and released us from the prison of our sins. We were still guilty of committing them, but we were released from the debt incurred. This is an important point. Forgiveness does not remove guilt, only the debt. If someone commits a murder, the family of the murdered person may offer forgiveness to the killer, but that will not remove the murderer's guilt or bring the dead person back to life. He still did the act and must answer for it in a court of law. The consequences of the murder remain. If the governor should pardon him, he also would be released from the state's demand for vengeance or payback. In that case, he would be completely forgiven and set free. Nevertheless, he would still be guilty of killing a man, and that family would still have to suffer the consequences of losing a loved one. Forgiveness does not erase the guilt for what we did, only the debt we had to pay. There is another aspect of salvation called justification that takes care of the guilt problem. And we will look at that next time. For now, why not spend some time thanking God for releasing us from the impossible debt we owed him because of our sins? And we should also make sure we're not failing to release anyone else from a debt owed to us. Holding an offense against another person is one sure way to sabotage our own mercy. God forgives us when we forgive others. God requires us to extend mercy to others. Matthew 6:12 and Mark 11:25. If we've been holding on to an offense, we must let it go, just as God did for us. It's not just the best way. It's the only way. And I want to close by reading Colossians 3:13 from the New Living Translation. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. God bless you.